Kano with the finish. This is Chicago, baby. Get ready.
Everybody needs to chill out.
Butler circles. Butler back outside. Rose fires.
Oh! Big time players make big time plays.
You could be a fool if you want to. Dead serious. I know I'm gonna be all right.
All right, we're back for another episode of Bull Zone. I'm Jason, and with me, once again, gracing the airwaves in the presence of you all, Will Miller. What's up, Will? How you been?
Good. You're welcome for me gracing your airwaves.
Hey, people have been asking, do we have a rift? Do we have a podcast rift? Or
I think it was one dude. One guy.
One guy missed you.
Yeah, I got a fan out there.
One fan. Hey, it's more one fan more than some of these other people. So
that's right, man.
So how was
gets me going daily?
How was your holiday? I know you had family in town. Your kid was out from Chicago visiting the old West Coast. The 75 degree Christmas.
We had seven people in my one bedroom apartment out here. Staying for about 4 or 5 days, so it was interesting.
Damn.
And, six of them are women, well, including my wife. So surrounded by girls and not in a good way, but obviously a great time, man. So it's a little too busy to hop on, but you kept it rolling, man.
I tried. You know, we kind of with the ball, we let it slip for a little bit there in the off season and towards the beginning of the season. But it was tough, man. I mean, this is a tough team to get pumped up about and to come on here and talk about weekly. So, I kind of thought we needed to commit ourselves a little bit more because people were getting on us, fans were getting on us, listeners. So here we are back, going to bring in the new year. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. The big controversy right now is Jimmy Butler and his leadership role and kind of what your thoughts are on that whole situation.
I don't know, man.
Start to that one. I don't know, man.
Well, I don't know. It's just weird, man. You know, it's really weird. I know, like, I love the way Jimmy stands up and plays and leads this team, actually through his play and through the want of wanting to be coached harder. I thought, in a way, it was really cool, man. But to come out and say stuff like that with a new head coach and all the things that's been going on between him and Derrick Rose, I mean, I thought that could have been taken. I mean, I look for things like this, of course. So if you want to look that way, that could have been another shot at Derrick Rose, reading between the lines type of deal. But I don't know, man. That's kind of weird that he came out and said something like that. I mean, it's obviously something that needs to be handled in house, as John Paxson also said in a recent interview. I mean, he didn't sound very thrilled with the fact that Jimmy was airing dirty laundry out, you know. So I don't know. I just thought it was weird, man. Just a head scratcher. He'd come out and say something like that. But I mean, we're used to things like this, right? Every time Derrick Rose opens his mouth, it's a head scratcher. So, I don't know, it's just weird. The whole team is weird. This is a weird year. Weird people. Our podcasts have been weird. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is weird, man.
Yeah, and it almost seemed to me like it was forced more than anything from him since the beginning of this season with a contract year kind of making it known to media every time there's an interview, like, I have to be more of a leader. I have to step up and be more of a vocal leader. And now with these comments, it's almost like he got some bad leadership advice or something. Like, it just did not make sense to me.
I didn't like it. I think we're used to players having bad advice, right?
Right. Yeah, so there's somebody else in that group that gets bad advice from his own camp. So I don't know if it's Jimmy's camp so much as what's going on in Jimmy's head. You know, he looks around that locker room and who's there leading. You know, Pau Gasol's got the rings, but when it's time for you know, somebody to step up in that locker room. Pau Gasol maybe isn't stepping up, and to him, he thinks that, you know, somebody maybe needs to be more of a vocal leader, and he's going about it the wrong way because, like I said in these last few shows, it's he's trying to lead, but there's nobody following. So, you know, obviously he's not going about it the right way, in a way that's kind of rubbing these guys wrong, and it's not working to their benefit. But I will say, although they did have that loss to Brooklyn, and then they had the loss to the Dallas Mavericks last night, you know, they've looked good, I think, better on the court since that whole debacle. Sure, they lost to the Brooklyn Nets, but after watching that game last podcast, I wasn't able to watch the game before I had the show, but I wasn't disappointed. I just thought Brooklyn played probably one of the best games of their season, and the shooting percentage was through the roof. Dallas couldn't miss a three-point shot last night. Some bad play calls, I think, last night also, that five-second inbound play with Derrick Rose, in which the play wasn't actually – it wasn't Derrick Rose's fault on the five-second play from what I saw. It was more of the play call. It took more than 5 seconds for the players to run through the play. So I like what I've seen from the team since Jimmy Butler has kind of stepped up and made a statement, I guess.
I mean, somebody needs to. Yeah. You know, I think we've all expected Derrick Rose to take that lead, but also we all know that vocally he just isn't there. It seemed like he wanted to be a leader early in the year or last season, but that's just not the way he led. He always led with his play. And unfortunately for all of us, his play is not there either. So his leadership abilities right now are zilch. You know, so I know Jimmy Butler wants to lead. I think he can lead. And, you know, we've had Casey Johnson here recently talk about he doesn't really see the whole leaders thing. But, you know, I don't know, playing sports my whole life, man, I always wanted to be that guy. And I'm not a very talkative guy or a loud guy. But in sports, I always kind of felt that same way as Jimmy Butler does. I came out of nowhere and was loud and aggressive. And, you know, even when I had bad games, I said the same things, man. I think that's kind of what he's doing. And Derrick Rose has never been able to do that. So it's kind of refreshing. And I always thought it helped. And I think it does help. I think these young guys really appreciate it. Jimmy Butler's reaching out to them, inviting them to his house. And, you know, off-season workouts, something Derrick Rose I don't think has ever done. So, you know, I like that stuff, man. I think it really helps these young guys.
Derrick Rose, I think I recall, I'm not sure who the rookie was at the time that said Derrick invited him over to his house. After he was recently drafted, maybe it was Tony Snell.
It's probably for like a gangbang or something. Man,
Marcus. What is that? A sex belt? Oh, my God.
Derek's a freak, man.
Yeah, he is.
That's probably the problem. He probably watched too much goddamn porn or, you know, banging too many weirdos to work on his game. What if that's how he injures himself, man?
That's probably the worst.
Maybe he's into that bondage, that freak shit. Maybe that's really what happened to his eye.
Possibly the worst
beat him or something.
Analysis I've ever heard come out of your mouth. You know, what's interesting about the whole Jimmy Butler debacle was something that a lot of you listeners do not agree with somebody that we have on the show a lot of times, and his opinion or his information may be strewn into more of a negative light for Derrick Rose. But Joe Cali was informed before the New York Knicks game that Jimmy Butler needed to talk to the media post game. And basically we all heard what Jimmy had to say, but it was kind of weird to me to hear that it was premeditated. Like no matter what the outcome was with that New York Knicks game, Jimmy Butler was going to air some stuff out. And lo and behold, Pau Gasol was one of the guys that never made the trip. And it's something that last season we heard Tibbs talk about with guys not having certain drills that they can skip out on practice, some closeout drills, guys having some days off from Jen Swanson, who we haven't even heard her name this year, which is a little odd. But, you know, it was kind of like it was echoing what Tibbs was trying to preach last season with Jimmy Butler. Like, Pau Gasol played four overtimes the night before. So did the rest of the team. But yet Pau Gasol didn't even need to take a trip to New York to even sit on the bench to support the team. So I think that right there really got Jimmy Butler fired up. And so from that point on, he maybe kind of aired some things out, I think, directed more towards Pau Gasol And we've seen Derrick Rose attack the rim a little bit more and take more of a responsibility since then also. So I think those are the two guys that he had targeted along with some of those bench guys. And we also saw Tony Snell get taken out of the starting lineup and then not even see a minute on the floor before getting back and onto the floor in that Dallas Mavericks game. But so those are a few guys that I think that he had targeted on that list. And number one, I think, was Pau Gasol and the whole reason why all this came up.
Yeah, when Jimmy says things like that, I mean, it's not out of the blue or it's not to inspire the team. There's something behind that. It's obvious. Like you said, man, Tibbs has had the problem with the guys, Derrick Rose especially, taking plays off or taking certain drills off and practices and all that stuff. That's been going on. So picture yourself as Jimmy Butler, you know, who's leading the league in minutes in multiple years or at the top of the league in the last 3 or 4 years. And he's carrying this team, literally, man. And he's practicing, he's doing drills, and he's watching the superstar that gets all the attention, all the fame, the shoe deals, and all that stuff over there on the sideline, you know, with a yoga instructor. I mean, we'd be stupid to pretend that there's nothing going on there and that these shots aren't at players like you said, Powell and Derrick Rose. I mean, it's obvious to me.
During that Thunder game on Christmas Day when Jimmy Butler hit that shot from just inside midcourt, walking over to the bench after the first quarter was let out, you know, he gave everybody a high five. And it looked to me and looked to some others as if he was giving everybody a high five. Then when he got to Derrick Rose, they kind of botched the high five and kind of ignored each other. So I don't know. Maybe they did and this the camera angle didn't catch it. But to me, like, that says a lot to me, you know. You're walking down the line, and if in the case that they did kind of miss out on each other and ignore each other and have a little actually a riff there, which I kind of start to believe is more and more true the longer that things like this come on with Jimmy Butler's comments and the play from last season towards the end of the year with Derrick Rose kind of just giving Jimmy the ball. I kind of see more into that whole riff situation. And if this handshake incident actually was what my eyes were telling me, there's some more to that that it's a little unsettling as a Bulls fan to see.
Derrick Rose is running out of fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, man. Even the organization itself is calling him out, saying he's inconsistent, things like that. And Paxton also coming out saying guys like him need to play better individually in order for them to be successful. And it's coming from John Paxton. I mean, Derrick Rose is just running himself out of this town. 1 year left in the contract. I don't see any way how he continues his career here in Chicago. I mean, he's playing bad. And a lot of people think he's improved as of late because he's getting to the basket a little bit. But, you know, besides with the game yesterday versus Dallas, which they lost, and unfortunately Derrick Rose had a crucial turnover there in the late seconds, was the first time he shot over 50% since the middle of November and the third time this season. I mean, that good game he had the other night versus, what was that, Brooklyn? Was it Brooklyn he had a decent game?
Yeah, I think he had a decent
Detroit. I mean, he had a really good game against Detroit. He scored 34, yeah. 8 assists.
I was in like 70 minutes of play, 80 minutes or something.
Yeah, and he shot 41%. I mean, it was a good game. I actually really enjoyed that game. He looked phenomenal at times, but let's not pretend that he was very efficient. Made a couple turnovers, 4 to be exact. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of an illusion. It's nice to see that he can do it at times, but, I mean, did you watch him try to dunk the other day? That was a Joe Colley. Joe Colley's headline, he wrote a story about it, Sir Dunk So Not or something like that. That was pretty funny.
Almost dunk from Derrick Rose.
I think everybody's kind of tired of him. I mean, he's literally running out of fans.
Yeah, speaking of John Paxton, we're going to play that interview for everyone that did not get a chance to hear it, courtesy of 670 The Score. Check this interview out by John Paxton.
John, if I know you, it's probably the same wish on Christmas that it has been for the last few years. It's health for your roster. Let's start right there because you got a couple of players, unfortunately, have been fighting something. Joakim Noah, obviously, recently with the shoulder injury, and Mike Dunleavy, who's been out ever since the preseason now with the back injury. Can you update us on both those guys to start with?
Well, Joe's most recent one, if you saw it, I mean, his shoulder popped out and went back in on its own, so that was a good thing. And you know, the general time frame is, you know, after 2 weeks you see how he's doing. We've had some experience with this before with some guys in the past, and we've actually had a few come back and play relatively quickly. So we'll see. It'll depend. And when we talked about Joe, you know, we said we'd give him the 2 weeks, and then we'd reevaluate and kind of see where he's at. The hardest thing always in situations like this is guys' conditioning, and you know, trying to keep them at a level where they can, you know, when they do come back, they're able to sustain some effort out there. But you know, so his is short term, and Mike Dunleavy's, you know, we kind of got caught because this thing didn't arise until right before training camp, and it's been probably an underpublicized issue with our team because Mike is, you know, he's a veteran. Obviously, he's got some toughness to him. He can shoot the basketball. And, you know, last year he missed 19 games for us, and we were only 9-10 in those games. So he has a big impact, and especially when you make changes, you know, in your staff like we did, the fact that he wasn't available from day one, hasn't been, you know, here through the first 2 months for the foreseeable future, it's been a, you know, something that's hurt us as well. But
yeah, I was going to say, there's, in a strange way, he's turning out to be the MVP by not even being there, because the loss has really hurt the roster and certainly hurt the starting rotation.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we've given Tony Snell an opportunity, and, you know, Tony's had a few moments, but be very candid, he's needed to play better and with some more consistency. And that has not, that's not been the case. And as you saw the last game, Fred went with a little different lineup, and Tony didn't even play. I would suspect that he might get a few minutes today. It all depends. But, you know, young guys need to take advantage of their opportunities, and we need Tony to step up and do that on occasion.
John, you've always been candid with me. This is the first opportunity to get a chance to talk to you on some of the stuff that has happened over the last week. The most important, of course, is dropping the three games. That's always going to be the most important thing. But it was also the first opportunity to talk to you since Jimmy's comments last Saturday night. It's unusual. I guess that's the best word to, you know, when a coach says anything about a player to the media. I mean, if it's behind closed doors, as you well know, you know, that happens all the time. But when it was out in the media, unfortunately, it opened up a small can of worms, at the least. What was your reaction when you first heard about it? Now, almost the better part of a week later, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you never like to see any of your laundry aired publicly. I know it's more difficult in this day and age. You know, and, you know, Jimmy, you know, the hope would have been that he would have addressed it, you know, head on with Fred, staff, teammates, whatever. Since that time, both Fred and Jimmy spoke. You know, we've talked to both Fred and to Jimmy about it, and you know what happens. And the hard thing now is, you know, the first game after this. Now it's going to be a nationally televised game on Christmas Day, and you know, that'll be a huge storyline. My feeling is that as long as it's been addressed immediately, which it was, and, you know, the parties are there to move on, then, you know, it'll be okay. But, you know, when you lose, you know, and being in the midst of a three-game losing streak, and with our schedule not getting any easier, it's very easy for anyone to, like, point fingers you know, but the reality is what you have to do is you have to understand that if you're not in this thing together, then you might as well not be in it at all. And, you know, the team is always the most important, comes first, and our group has to rally around one another. Yes, we made a coaching change, and Fred has a lot to learn. He'll acknowledge that. We all will. The system that he wants to implement offensively is taking some time to, you know, to really, you know, come to fruition. And when you don't have certain players in terms of spacing the floor, like Dunleavy, et cetera, and that's not an excuse, it's just our reality, you know, it can slow the process as well. So my feeling is that it's been addressed. You know, you don't want it to happen again. You have to understand the big picture in this whole thing in terms of when you say anything publicly that's negative, it's going to be made an issue, and rightly so. And we have to learn from it and move on.
John, I covered your playing career, so I know you've worked with played with some very strong personalities. I mean, Michael, obviously. Scotty was a leader in his own right, maybe even more so in that locker room that you guys shared. Bill Cartwright was the silent leader. So there's all kinds of leaders. And Jimmy, there's no question he has stepped up his game and worked tremendously hard over the last couple of years and earned the contract that he got and earned the feathers that he's had. But he also, you know, went out of his way before the season even started saying, I will be a leader. Did he go about this the right way? Is he continuing to go about this right way? What is the primer on something like this?
Well, you know, first of all, I think there's too much talk of leadership and, you know, those type of things around our team right now. The reality is, and I take this having played, and you're right, I played with some real strong personalities. But, you know, the biggest thing is as a player, and you have to understand you're in a team sport, and, you know, you're working with other individuals. But your first priority is yourself. You have to take care of yourself and have yourself ready as an individual to compete at the highest level. So that's your first thing. But then you also have to understand that, you know, leadership is done in a lot of different ways. And the best way to do it is by going out and doing your job every single day, working at it, showing your teammates that you're invested in them and in the team. And sometimes, you know, words and trying to be a vocal type of person, that's really not what is important. What's important is that you're there every day to show them, you know, that you're about the group and that you're going to do whatever you can to be about the group. And sometimes that means you have to sacrifice a little bit too. And again, you know, our situation this year is different, and some roles have been changed, and you know, and the sacrifice that has been made by some and others, you know, that's something that can go a long way to you know, being a successful team if you address it the right way and handle it the right way. So I think that, you know, Jimmy's grown into a lot of different roles for our team. I mean, he's obviously our best player at this time, and you know, and what you think about what he gives us every night on both ends of the floor, the amount of energy he expends and his commitment. I mean, that to me, that example is enough. You know, but we there's no question we have to come. We have a long way to go in terms of coming together as a group, and you know, and that's the challenge, especially in the midst of everything's magnified. You know, Tex Winter used to have an old saying that winning covers a multitude of sins, and he was right. You know, you win some close games, and you know, things, you know, look okay, but you know, even early in the year, and I've said this from day one, we're not playing great, and it's magnified when you lose and go on a losing streak, and it's probably not looked at as strongly when you win some games. So we have a long way to go in implementing Fred's system, and you know, we need to get our personnel back. Joe's injury hurts us because he was really starting to play well and give us that energy. But you know what? Some individuals are going to get an opportunity now, and that's what this league's all about: get an opportunity and see if you can perform.
Yeah, John, I don't know if this is the best time to have you on or the worst time to have you on. You know, the fact that the team has lost three in a row, and I don't know if you hear from the fans on a daily basis or even hourly basis like we do here at the station, but, you know, there's a sect of the fan base that's upset. The team is not playing well, as you just said a couple of minutes ago, and they you know, listen, everybody's hungry for a title, no more so than the players in the organization itself. How do you react to some of the fans who are just angry right now and they just want results? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, fans have a right to feel that way. And, you know, and we obviously aren't playing real well right now. But you know what, we've had some issues over the last few years, and in the way we played, and you know, we'd go through, you know, we lost games last year badly and did not play well through stretches, and I didn't think our playoff situation last year was great. You know, but now it's fans have that right, and we're sitting here and we're trying to look at ways all the time to improve our team. And you know, our reality is that right now we have a really high payroll. Some of the pieces, you know, let's face it, we need, you know, when Derek got hurt, you know, in 2011, you know, the dynamic of our team, that thing changed. We tried to put some pieces together, you know, waiting for him to come back, and he's still, his game's still trying to come along again. So it's been a tough process for all of us. You know, we're looking at everything, and if there's a way that at some point we feel like we need to make some changes, do something different with the roster, we will. We talk to teams all the time. I know Gar is on the phone with teams every day, and so you know if there's a way to do something different as we look at this, we certainly will. But you need two partners, obviously, to get something going. And right now, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of stuff going on at this time of year. But it'll all pick up as we get towards February, and we'll have a better idea about our team by then as well. Hopefully, Mike Dunleavy's back and Joe's back, and we can kind of see if this group can kind of find a rhythm at some point.
You're leading me almost into my next question, so I appreciate you doing that. I mean, yeah, there's no question that you guys are on the phone all the time, and you're doing your due diligence, and you know, you're at least, you know, thinking about doing whatever you can to help this roster. If you deem, and obviously that decision is not going to be made today, tomorrow, or even, as I said to our listeners, in the next week or two, but if you deem, as you get closer to the trading deadline, that something needs to happen for the roster, not only this season, but going forward, it hasn't really been the MO over the recent past to do something like that, but if you deem it necessary this time around, you're not going to be hesitant to pull the trigger?
We would always deem it. I mean, just because we haven't done something in the past doesn't mean that we won't do it. I mean, we have, actually have, you know, it's been a little while, but we made some deals at the deadline, several years back. But, you know, in the past, the last 3 or 4 years, you know, we sit in a room with our coach, and we talk about a roster, and and you look at all the things, and when everybody seems to think we have a chance with that group, then you tend to stay with it, and it can be difficult at times. I mean, look, we have individual pieces we have for the last several years that we like. Right now it just doesn't seem to be meshing the way that you would like, and we've had inconsistency. Some of the guys that we need to shoot from deep better, aren't shooting a great percentage, and we need more of that. Or some of the guys we need to step up and play defensively aren't as consistent. The one thing that I think we maybe lack as much as anything is just kind of a toughness to us, and I think that a guy like Portis can give us some of that. Somebody who's willing to stand in there and give some blows. I mean, as I watch our team a lot this year, we seem to be the ones taking blows as opposed to giving it, and that's not to say you're being playing a dirty style of basketball, but you got to be physical. It's still a physical game in a lot of ways, and you've got to be the guy, not always reacting to play. So, we sit here and we're looking at our team, and we are evaluating every day, and we're if something, as we call teams and inquire about players, and they do the same, if there's something that we feel we need to do, we will.
It's funny, you made mention of the word toughness, and obviously it's applicable, and Fred has done that on numerous occasions already, and as you well know, I mean, basketball, all sports are played with emotion, but for me, and I've played them all to the small level that I play them at, the one sport that really stands out with emotion is basketball. I actually think you can play basketball better sometimes when you're mad or you're so worked up. And sometimes it seems like it's lacking. And I know you played with a lot of emotion. How much does that bother you and Fred and the coaching staff when you see that it's not evident on sometimes on a consistent basis?
Well, it goes beyond emotion. I think all our guys, they love the game. They like to play. But you, there's a part of you as an athlete that has to take things personally. And you have to look across the way and see your opponent. And you have to have some kind of fire inside of you that says, I want to compete against this guy and I want to get the better of him. And a lot of times, for us, it has to start on the defensive end, where that one-on-one matchup starting with our point guard on the other point guard. You have to go out and try to win that battle every night. And the same thing at every position. And so, you know, but with that goes, you know, you have to have a little physicality to you. And I know our rules, they've changed over the years. You know, the big mantra with the league, and rightfully so, is freedom of movement. And, you know, so that cutters, when they go through the lane, you can't bang them. You know, you have to let them go and remain in defensive position, that type of thing. But you know what? I look at it this way. It's those tough rebounds in traffic, where it's a loose ball that you don't get. Those are the things that I think, you know, when you talk about a more physical style, or, you know, and that's on the individual. I mean, you know, that's where I say, you know, you have to, you know, if you're out there on the floor, you have to be accountable to yourself first and foremost. And if you know you haven't gone after that ball hard enough or aggressively enough, or, you know, even if you, you know, I've seen this too many times this year where, you know, we'll have a ball in our hands and somebody will knock it away. And, you know, those are the things. It's a physical thing, but it's also a mental toughness that goes with it. And, you know, so those are the kind of things that I think we need to see more of. And again, I think, you know, Derek's still trying to find his way, and you know, he's shown some flashes this year. I thought the other night, even though we lost to Brooklyn for 2.5 quarters, I thought his push and pace up the floor were more what we need to see. You know, we need a lot of things from a lot of different people, and I think one of the things is we need individuals to kind of look at themselves and play better individually, and I think that will help our entire situation.
A couple more minutes with John Paxson, the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Chicago Bulls. And again, John, we do appreciate you joining us here on Christmas morning, a time when you should be with your family, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. You talked about Derek. I was one of the people who held out hope that he hopefully could return to his MVP form. I think the injuries have really taken a toll. You know, maybe he still has time. He's certainly in the prime of his basketball chronological life right now. Can you see him getting better? I mean, athletically, can he get even better than he currently is? His jumping ability, you mentioned that, you know, at times he can turn on the jets. He goes down the lane. He's, you know, he's not converting. I think he would be the first to admit he's just not converting when he gets to the basket. Where do you see the evolution of Derek eventually going too?
Well, that's an unknown. Now, he's been through a lot, and it didn't help when 1 hour into our first preseason practice this year, you know, he had the you know, he got hit in the eye and broke that bone and was out for, you know, all of camp. I mean, he's had some bad luck along with you know, the major injury that he had a few years ago. Derek, like a lot of our guys, needs to be more consistent, and that's not, you know, that's not a revelation. He's shown, like I said, he's shown some flashes, but he's got to do things, you know, at a higher level for us to be successful. But that goes to a lot of our guys right now. So, you know, I never went through major injuries. I had a couple of knee surgeries and that type of stuff toward the end of my career. And, you know, but I've seen players who have had very difficult injuries to come back from. And there's two components to it. There's the physical, there's the mental. And, you know, it's difficult for athletes, you know, especially in our game where it is a very athletic game, for a young player that relied so much on his athleticism, as Derek did, his athleticism and strength to suffer injuries is tough. And you have to at least acknowledge what he's been through. You know, so look, we need him and others to play at a higher level. And again, it goes to, you know, as Gar and I sit here every day and evaluate our team, we look at everything, and, you know, we're not sitting here not acknowledging, you know, the things that we're not doing well. We recognize them, and we'll have to see where we are as you know, we go on week to week.
John, one last question. I want to ask you about Fred Hoiberg. And for those who criticize Fred Hoiberg for having a lack of competitiveness, they obviously don't know this man, because he's incredibly competitive. And you know, he might not show, you know, that fire and brimstone to the media or even to the fan base out there, but we both know that behind closed doors, he's incredibly competitive and can be very loud if he wants to be. But how would you evaluate him? I mean, he's obviously been handcuffed with some of the injuries, and he's sort of been groping with certain lineups. ups, and that's normal for any rookie head coach, especially with the consideration of with the injuries. But how would you evaluate him so far through the first 25, 30 games?
Well, Fred is doing fine, and he's got to keep kind of reinforcing what he's, you know, what he wants out on the floor. I think the challenge for all coaches is just that. You know, you have a vision of how you want to play. You use the practice floor to show players that vision and what you expect from them. The one thing is every guy has a personality. I mean, you see coaches that you know, sit, and I played for Phil Jackson. He sat most of the game. He was laid back, but he was intense. Then you see some coaches that are, you know, up and down, you know, maniacs on the sideline. I mean, it's a lot of it is the person, you know, your personality. I learned a lot from Phil in that, you know, he tried to show a calm so that when you were in pressure situations, you could look over there and see somebody under control. And I found that to be effective, and I believe that. I think the last thing as a player, what you need is when there's stressful situations, you look to the sideline and there's a guy over there, you know, going nuts. I mean, it's, you know, I see that in college all the time. You know, the college coaches have – they have such a latitude in terms of their sideline behavior, and they're given kind of a free rein to, you know, run on the floor, act crazy. And, you know, if I'm a player, I look over there, I see that. I mean, I feel personally that can be a detriment to how you react in situations. So, like I said, every coach has his own personality, and you can't be something you're not. You know, the and again, Fred, I mentioned this earlier when we started talking today. Fred is a young coach. He's got a lot to learn. I think the biggest challenge always is to create the vision that you want for your team, lay that out and practice it every day, reinforce the things that you want, and then the players have to get on the floor and play the way that you envision.
Hey, John, tough assignments the next couple of days, this afternoon in Oklahoma City, tomorrow night in Dallas before coming home against Toronto on Monday night. It never gets easier, but we certainly, for you and for the organization, hope for better days ahead. And again, we greatly appreciate you taking some time out here on Christmas morning and joining us.
Always a pleasure, David. Take care of yourself.
All right, thanks.
So the biggest thing I take away from that interview by John Paxson is he's doesn't seem happy with Jimmy Butler and his comments, and he also kind of used Mike Dunleavy as a crutch as to why the play may be so bad, and also admitted to the fact that, you know, maybe some changes need to happen. And him and Gar Paxson is actually fielding some phone calls. There's just not a lot of activity going around in the NBA right now, which we kind of are all aware of, that by January, mid-January is a lot of times when the trade season starts to begin. Right now, a lot of teams are kind of hush-hush because there's a lot of contracts that don't free up players to be available via trade until, I think, the January 15th, 17th time frame, somewhere around there. So hopefully, you know, like I said last show, the Bulls can keep on sucking, and maybe Mike Dunleavy can come back and they can realize that, hey, this still is not working, and some moves can be made in order for them to finally maybe put themselves into contention with the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, hopefully, because even if Dunleavy comes back and they play a lot better, I still don't see it happening with this team.
Excuse Lucy scratching herself.
Hey, Luce. What's up, girl?
Yeah, it's kind of. I think the whole trade thing was taken out of context here because, I mean, that's the same answer we get every year. Is Gar's making phone? He's on the phones every day. He's in contact with teams every day. I mean, that's basically his job, isn't it?
Right.
That doesn't mean there's any trade talk. And I think that, you know, the quote out of the story was taken out of context. I think more importantly, I think what I took out of this is that he's acknowledging the fact that they're garbage, man. He doesn't believe in this team. He sounds like he wants to swap a bullet, the tone of his voice. It's kind of like us doing this podcast, you know?
At times, yes.
It's like, ah, man, this fucking team, you know? So that's really refreshing to me because that tells me something, that they're smart. Like, they've always felt this team has been a contender, you know, even when we haven't, even when a lot of fans had doubts, even when their best player in the game is playing like ads. And finally, they're starting to acknowledge the fact that they may not have a contender on their hands. And, you know, I hope this time that when the trade deadline gets close, as I say every year, that they're active and they're pursuing things. Because, you know, I really like what I've seen out of Bobby Portis, man. He made some a few mistakes along the way, but
he's a rookie.
You know, I think, and more importantly, Gibson is playing good right now, getting more minutes, showcasing some of his talents. I think his trade value has probably never been higher because of what he's doing right now. Because I think Bobby can step in and do a lot of things that Taj can't. I think his body's going to grow. He's going to be a better pro than Taj Gibson. I mean, Taj Gibson, you can't re-sign him. He's getting old. He's going to want some more money. You know, I think he holds some value right now. So
mm-hmm. I agree.
I hope that's something they look into. But also what I really like Paxton saying is Jimmy's obviously their best player, despite him not obviously agreeing with his comments over the last week or so. But again, kind of another little dig at Derrick Rose, you know. He mm-hmm. also said he needs to be more consistent. So I really enjoyed the interview, man. I usually don't enjoy exactly. But, you know, and he kind of did use Mike Dunleavy has a little crutch. But at the same time, I kind of got the idea that he knows that they suck, man. And it's not going to take Mike Dunleavy coming back and mm-hmm. saving the day for the Chicago Bulls. So I enjoyed the interview.
Yeah, and back to Derrick Rose's point that he made was, hey, we're going to take it week to week with him and with a couple other guys in this team that we think that needs to step up and play more like in their roles and what we expect out of them. Derrick Rose being the main focal point. Tony Snell obviously lost his starting spot, which I was waiting for that. I don't necessarily agree with Mirotić being called up upon to be the starting three guard or the starting three for this team. I'd rather see McDermott. I think McDermott has gotten a lot better defensively since the beginning of the year already. Give him some time. Give him some minutes right now. Tony Snell needs to be buried on the bench, especially when Dunleavy does come back. I would hope to God that they'll even send him down to the D League for obvious developmental purposes.
Can I cut in there before I forget this?
Yeah.
I don't know if David Thorpe means anything to you, but it's pretty funny, man. He recommends Derrick Rose go to the D League.
No, I saw that shit. That's ridiculous. Oh my God. That's like right along the lines of Bradley Doolittle for ESPN Insider right there.
Yeah. I mean, he says things like, you know, Rose isn't the Bulls aren't going anymore. They're both playing heavy minutes and all this stuff. But man, you know, when you look at the numbers, he's really bad. He really has been bad. And I think, you know, we because there's so much optimism for him to play well, and so many fans are optimistic, including myself sometimes, whenever he does one little thing right, it's just like, oh my gosh, Derrick Rose, you know. And I think we forgot how bad he's been. You know, out of 90 players, Jason, that have averaged at least 6 minutes per game, talking PER here, he ranks 67th. 67th, man. That means he is bad at basketball when you look at the numbers. So, I don't know. This dude might have a point.
No.
He might have a point, man.
This team is only going to go as far as Derrick Rose carries them. Look, Jimmy Butler might be the best player, and he might get some W's for this team. But the team really excels the most when Derrick Rose is clicking on all cylinders. Right. We saw that.
I mean, he's got to average close to 20 points and 6 or 7 assists, right? For this team to have any title aspirations
whatsoever.
I agree
with you. Yeah.
He's so far away from doing that efficiently.
The past 5 games since that Detroit game, he's averaged 18 points a game with 3.8 assists, shooting 41%, 35 minutes of play. So not great, but not terrible. Like a lot better than what he was playing in those other 23 games prior to that, I think, in that stretch. Sure. Some of the things we've seen on the court from him, some of the explosion that I saw from him against the Dallas Mavericks, stuff that I've been waiting to see from Derrick Rose, and it was really refreshing to see him play like that. And once again, we just want to see it more on a continual basis and not just kind of glimpses of it here and there. He does it, and then he kind of fades away for 5-6 minutes of play, and then you have iso ball with Jimmy Butler in the corner or Pau Gasol on the high post. So Some kinks still definitely need to work out, but I feel like the other kinks that we were worried about are slowly being worked out, and there's still more to come. But as a collective group, hey, possibly it will be worked out. Possibly they'll figure this whole entire situation out. Derrick Rose will play like we all thought he would play this season. Who knows? Once again, it's all a crapshoot at this point, especially this early in the season. So,
Todd Gibson, come up with some kind of number, man. Well, some sort of wager.
Yeah.
Because I got this Derrick Rose autographed jersey, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do with the thing. It just sits in my closet collecting dust. Might end up wearing it to work or something. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it.
I feel like we need to do something to get that thing away from you, so that you quit.
I will burn that thing.
Oh my god!
I'm telling you, we need to come up with some sort of wager that ends with me burning it if he doesn't reach some type of number or a PER above replacement level player.
You can't do PER because you don't agree with PER unless it is in your favor. So, what do you want to do? Like from here on out for the rest of the season, he needs to average like 16-5, 17-5.
Let's be realistic here. Come on.
That's what I'm trying. What? You don't think you can do 17-5 for the rest of the season?
Hell no, man.
Damn.
Not at all.
This dude is like.
Not at all. Oh, you do?
Yeah, this thing is a potential. I don't think it's like.
Sure, he could.
So you want to know what he averaged before? In the first 23 games of the season, you want to know what he averaged?
Sure.
Like, this might break your heart. Like, you might as well go get some kerosene. No, 6.8 points a game. All right, so here it is, the first 23 games of the season. He averaged 13 points a game, 5.5 assists, shooting 37% from the field. 32 minutes per game. So you're saying that you don't think that he can average the same amount of assists while scoring 3-4 more points a game for the rest of the season. From game 24 until game 82.
I don't know, man. I don't think he will.
No. So you want to – I'll put that wager down with you then.
Let me sleep on it. I mean, I stood in line for a long time to get that stupid jersey.
And then kind of like go back into the closet all scared to actually throw the bet down.
I know, but I mean, those numbers.
You're all puffy chested, like, hey, let's do this. Let's burn the Derrick Rose jersey. Give me something.
We're pretending like 17-5 is like good or something.
Is it not? I mean, I wish I could average 17-5 in the NBA. I'd be happy with that.
I wish you could average 17-5 with me guarding you.
Oh, here we go again. This shit. This is just not going to stop anytime soon.
Now we'll come up with something, man, that ends with me maybe burning that jersey.
Like, you guys are pissed off.
I'll do it, man.
I don't doubt the fact that you wouldn't do it. Let's talk about Taj Gibson, though.
I don't want to have to do it, though.
Ever since Taj Gibson's been put in the starting lineup, you mentioned him earlier of playing really good and that this might be an opportune time for the Bulls to pull the plug on him being traded elsewhere for a wing player, which they have already said and come out and said that they need. But he's playing very good basketball right now, shooting a high percentage, 60% from the field. And he's hitting that mid-range jumper that we bitched and griped about the last few seasons that he lost, averaging 9.3% or 9.3 points per game with 7 rebounds while being a starter in the last 10 games. That's some good numbers from Taj Gibson, a lot better than the matchup that we saw with Powell and Mirotić, I feel. And some of those offensive rebounds, we saw last game, he had 3 offensive rebounds in one possession. And he's really been something on that floor that the Bulls have been striving for, with that energy. And I love the way he's been playing because he was averaging, 6 points a game before that? And it's about 6 rebounds, shooting 38% from the field instead of now the 60%. So putting him in the starting lineup, I think, was a very good call by Fred Hoiberg.
He scored double digits 4 of the last 5 games, and he shot the ball at a really high percentage. So, you know, like I was saying earlier, man, his trade value has never been higher.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a piece that can help you, you know, get somebody that you need, because what he does for this team can be replaced. I mean, you got a lot of big bodies on this roster. I know Noah Dowd right now, that kind of sucks, but you got Bobby Portis that can step in and do some of these things and play a couple different positions depending on the matchups. So you never know if you look to get another big guy to play a few minutes, to give these guys a rest. in some sort of deal for another wing starter. So, I mean, he's played phenomenal. I think that really benefits the Bulls, you know, looking to trade for a wing guy. John Paxson's talking like they're serious about making a move, finally. I mean, his tone of voice was just rub you the wrong way, man. You know, sounds very down about this team. So I think Taj Gibson playing this well right now. Obviously, it's fun to watch, and he really improves the Bulls' chances on winning short term. But, you know, I think moving him is the right move to make. And soon, because of how well he's playing basketball.
And since it's come out that Pau Gasol is going to opt out of his contract, but the Bulls don't seem to see that as a threat of him leaving. Hey, I could care less. I think we all know my feelings on that. I don't know if you share the same feelings on that yourself, but as far as Pau Gasol is concerned, some of those boxing out, Zaza Pachulia whooped that dude's ass the other night. Whooped Pau Gasol's ass. The other night. And anybody that's going to let Zaza do that to them, I don't want him as team. I don't want him as a starter. I mean, he's a stat filler. He's absolutely grimy, what Carlos man. Boozer was. Absolutely. But at least Carlos Boozer boxed out and got rebounds. Both of those dudes scream. They have annoying like yells throughout the game. Like
Pau complains when he makes a basket. Half the time he's shaking his head down the floor, you know?
Yeah, but now
I don't know. I could take him or leave him. He does some good things offensively. He's fun to watch sometimes. A couple of his spin moves the other night made me, you know, make funny noises from the couch and all. But, you know, take him or leave him, man, because he's horrendous on the other end of the floor.
His closeout on a 14-foot jump shot has got to be the worst closeout I've ever seen in my life.
Horrible.
It's just bad. But, you know, the Bulls were in talks, this big rumor that hit the stands with our favorite guy, Chris Sheridan, that the Bulls were after DeMarcus Cousins. And since has come out that that's not accurate from any of the three teams that they named. Nobody's willing to give up the DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings. That sound like shit. Vlade Divac is not willing to give up DeMarcus Cousins, even though he has that issue with George Karl. I see them moving George Karl out of the way before they let DeMarcus go. So, another name that has come up, though, from that team is Rudy Gay. So maybe a Rudy Gay with a Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott package, maybe a pick involved there, maybe give Sacramento their pick back. I might be on board with that. I'd like to see a Rudy Gay alongside Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Pal and Taj in that starting lineup.
I mean, I really like how Doug McDermott's been playing basketball
this season. I do too.
I've seen him score multiple different ways, get to the basket. He's crafty. He finishes at the basket. He can obviously shoot. And like you said earlier, I think he's playing better defense, man. I kind of hate to see him move, especially so early in his career. I mean, this is his first full year. So I think next year he's going to have a breakout season. In the next couple of years he will. And I think he's going to be a really good pro, man. I hate to get rid of him. He's really cheap right now. I think he helps his team out and can really help him win basketball games down the line. So as much as I am for moving Gibson, and I don't know, for Rudy Gay, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't like
plug in guys. You got to plug in guys where you need guys right now. And I think Rudy Gay fills a very big void right now for the Chicago Bulls. And you can't overvalue your guys. That's something that we've talked about a lot on the show. Yeah, Doug McDermott does have that great outside shot. And he has recently had a way of getting to the rim and had a lot of those post moves, those spin moves that we've seen at the top of the key to get to the rim. But back to the overvaluing thing where the Bulls hang on to players for too long or give players up for basically nothing. I think that at this point in time, they just need to go and fill a void with what they have. And I think he has some trade value along with Taj Gibson right now. Maybe that's what you get the most out of from the Bulls with a trade package is Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott. I think they have the highest trade value besides obviously Jimmy Butler right now on the Bulls.
Yeah, like Rudy Gay's having a good season, man. There's no question about it. I think ultimately I probably make that trade. I just don't want to because, you know, I don't see them contending anyways. I just don't know where the future of this team is at, man. It's really depressing. But I know adding Rudy Gay on this team, especially with the way Derrick Rose is playing basketball. And if he's averaging 17-5, who cares? He's probably shooting 41% anyways. That's just not enough. And I don't see, you know, it would be really good basketball. I think they'd win a lot of games with Rudy Gay. And it'd be fun to watch. And that backcourt on paper, it's or maybe not so much on paper, but in your mind, it sounds really exciting, you know, with Derrick Rose, Rudy Gay, and Jimmy Butler. But ultimately, I mean, I don't see that winning a title anytime soon. So that's why I like to hang on to Doug McDermott, to try my best to hang on to him, because when this team is ready to contend, depending on the moves they make and how they play free agency with some stars coming up in the next couple of seasons, I think McDermott will be a lot better basketball player when that time does come. So I don't know, man. I like Rudy Gay right now, and it sounds fun and all, but I try my hardest not to get rid of Doug.
And if Derrick Rose ends the season with shooting 41% from the field, that'll be the best field goal percentage from him since 2011 and 2012. So that is that too. It's not terrible. His highest percentage was back in his MVP season at 48% from the field. So 41 is not terrible for a player like Derrick Rose, who definitely struggles with his outside shot, oftentimes struggles with that mid-range game. But to me, from what I've seen, it gets kind of turned around, and I think the Bulls, they're right there. Let's be honest, they're not the New York Knicks, where there's absolutely zero chance for this team to win a title. I think they're a few moves away from really opening this thing up, and I think you have to make those right moves and really challenge these teams in the Eastern Conference and make a run at this thing, because Joe's leaving, or potentially leaving. His contract's up. Powell's opting out. Derrick Rose's contract's done after next season. This is going to be a different group very soon, and this era of Chicago Bulls basketball is really going to miss out on a potential realistic shot at a championship. And I think we said last year was the year to get it done, because we all knew that Tibbs was going to be gone. But this year, to me, is it. Like, you can't get some moves made, you can't get this thing to click properly, you can't get by LeBron James, and you're just not going to do it. It's not going to happen. And we think this is basketball hell. This next couple years for the Bulls could really be ugly basketball from the Bulls. And really be some ugly podcasting.
I've been through it, man.
Not as a podcaster, though. Thank God.
We had that second time Rose got hurt, man.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. This is rough, too. But
even though the team kind of excelled in his absence,
it was fun to watch because we didn't have.
Front office wanted them to tank, but the boys did not tank.
Well, we didn't have high expectations. And now we have these expectations of, hey, same team. Front office said, hey, it was a Tom Thibodeau issue. Well, now you have a team surrounding Fred Hoiberg's offense that were not built to run a Fred Hoiberg offense. This team was built to run Tom Thibodeau basketball. So it's just not clicking. It's not working out right now. And like I said before, like Pax has kind of hinted to in his interview, as you all heard, and we've talked about on the show, something needs to be done. It has to be done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Do it, Pax. Do it, guy.
Don't be a bitch. Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. There's your title.
It's a struggle.
I think we're good, man.
From time to time, it's a struggle for finding a title.
Yeah, let's come up with a good one, man.
Thanks.
I agree that much.
All right, well, welcome back, Will. Good to have somebody on the other line to talk to throughout this show.
Thank you, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
I appreciate that. I feel like that came from a movie or a famous quote, but I'll take it.
Came from me, man. Yeah. Genuine.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up.
Tiny little heart.
Let's see where our mood is and our tone is next week. I'm not as down on this team this week as I was last week, because I've actually seen some optimistic play from the Bulls. So it's a roller coaster ride. One of the craziest roller coaster rides I can remember being on from a Bulls team, as far as where I set my expectations at. So
every week this team has a losing record. I'm going to come up with a new way to say garbage in a different language.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. You got one for today? Or is it just going to be English?
Basura.
Ooh, whoa.
Like that?
Being down there in SoCal, I know you you hear that. As long as you don't hear anybody say Blanco Basura.
I don't know what that means. White garbage?
Calling you white trash, bro. I'd be calling you white trash.
Right. Oh, yeah. All damn. Right. Right over my head.
Anyway, thanks for tuning into the Bull Zone. Whether it's on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, our website, Podomatic, we always appreciate all you listeners and conversing with everybody.
And as always, thanks for joining us on the Bull Zone, where it's all bulls, no bullshit. And we're out.
And I'm gonna leave everybody with a I'm gonna steal something from 670 The Score here from the Spiegel and Golf Show. Really hit home for me. First time. That I actually missed Tom Thibodeau from. This is some good stuff here, so we'll leave you with that little play. Have a good night.
Butler, and he throws it down. Jimmy Butler with a highlight play.
Hello.
Let's go.
It's me.
Hey, Jimmy.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet. Go over everything.
He's just a good player. That's what he is.
They say the time's supposed to heal you.
No.
I ain't done much healing.
Have to be coached a lot harder at times. Fred's a laid-back guy. Guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. You got to get on guys.
I'm in California dreaming about who he used to be.
Jimmy, 60 Minutes, named after the TV show, I guess. He was awesome.
Included, you gotta do what you're supposed to do when you're out there playing basketball.
I must have called a thousand times.
So I regret it, no. I put a lot of it on myself now.
Oh, that's garbage. Trust, it's work. That's how you build trust.
Unreal.
Everything that I've done, but when I call you, never.
Jesus. No regrets.